November.
I am going to call the meeting to order.
He chaired health and I chaired transportation.
Okay, so I apologize. We are 7 minutes late and waiting for a quorum, but the meeting is now called to order, so we can stand for our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I think I also need to verify with you, Annette, that we're in compliance with the open meeting law. And the next item is the oath of office.
Thank you, raise your right hand.
I'm Norman Liverpool IV.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Protect and defend.
Protect and defend.
The Constitution and government.
The Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
Constitution and government.
And the Constitution and government.
Of the state of Nevada.
Of the state of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear true faith.
And I will bear true faith.
Allegiance and loyalty.
Allegiance and loyalty.
To the same.
To the same.
Any ordinance.
Any ordinance.
Resolution or any law.
Resolution or any law.
Of any state notwithstanding.
Of any state notwithstanding.
And that I will well.
And that I will well.
And faithfully perform.
And faithfully perform.
All the duties of a member.
All the duties of a member.
Of the Southern Nevada.
Of the Southern Nevada.
Community Health Center.
Community Health Center.
Governing Board.
Governing Board.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thank you.
Welcome to the board.
Thank you.
So I got a text that Marilyn Kirkpatrick is on the line, so I think that gets us to 7.
Marilyn?
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Thank you.
So we still do not have quorum, so we're going to go to informational items. The first item that I believe we can do is public comment.
Yes.
So public comment, a period devoted to comments by the general public about those items appearing on the agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and spell your last name for the record. And if any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this may be done by the chairman or the board by majority vote. If there's any public comment, now is the time. Seeing none, we'll close public comment. The next consent item, or item without action, would be board reports.
Right. Now you can, under report discussion action, there are reports that you can receive. Until we get a quorum, we just can't take a vote.
Fair. The board report should be your recommendation. Item number
discussion
eight?
Action, 7.
7.
The first item is the compliance program and board resolution.
Thank you. So item number 7, receive, discuss, and approve compliance program and board resolution in support of compliance program and direct staff accordingly or take other action as deemed necessary. Hi.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Let's see.
Can you state your name for the record?
Well, certainly. Okay. My name is Lynn Foster, and I am Senior Compliance Specialist. And I am here to talk about building a culture of compliance and ethics. And I first of all want to say that the terms compliance and ethics are often used interchangeably. Compliance is all about following laws, rules, and regulations. And ethics happens when you follow those rules, not because you have to, but because it's the right thing to do. And that's what we're striving for. We're taking a centralized approach with clear standards to compliance, and we're implementing this program because it's the right thing to do and because we need to do it, and then also because it's a requirement of the Affordable Care Act. As recipients of federal financial participation, we have to have a compliance program. Guidelines and compliance dates have not yet been set, but we can look to the Office of the Inspector General for guidance on the core elements of a compliance program. They've identified 7 core elements and guidelines for developing a program which are scalable to different types and sizes of organizations. And so the core elements are policies and procedures so that folks know what's expected of them, a dedicated compliance specialist and a compliance committee, training and education, keeping lines of communication open, internal monitoring and auditing consequences, and responding promptly to issues and taking corrective action. And we have added an eighth element that relates to number four, keeping the lines of communication open, and that's because we want to emphasize non-discrimination and non-retaliation. If people fear retaliation, you're not going to have any reporting. We can also look to Chapter 8 of the U.S. Sentencing Guidelines that defines what investigators are looking for when they're evaluating compliance programs. And one of the things that they emphasize is an organizational culture that encourages ethical conduct and a commitment to compliance with the law. And so at the end of this presentation, I'd ask you to review the board resolution and when the board has an opportunity to vote on that, because establishing that culture from the top down is critical. And that's why we're making this presentation to you, the board. An effective compliance program is not just checking boxes, it's holding common values and demonstrating those. So to put together this program, we laid some foundational elements down, and one of those is our code of conduct. You should all have a copy of that. If not, let me know. Like our mission and vision statements, this document sets the tone for who we want to be. It's an aspirational document. It does reference some policies and procedures, but it's more based in values than it is in regulation. And it doesn't impose any new requirements on employees. This has value both to us as internal guidance and as an external expression to other entities as to who we are and what we stand for. We have formed a compliance committee to operationalize those eight core elements of our compliance program. We first of all met monthly, and this is what we accomplished. We developed our charter detailing our roles and responsibilities. We developed and approved that code of conduct. We developed a compliance and ethics issues reporting policy. We developed a compliance and ethics investigation policy. And we tested and refined a new anonymous reporting system. And at this point, we're meeting monthly. Now that our foundation is laid, we're going to be working on quality reporting and monitoring to ensure compliance, and continuing to develop policies and procedures to operationalize our program. And I'd like at this point to let you know who our compliance committee members are. I have some of them in the audience that I'll ask to stand up as I call their names, but please understand that this meeting, all of these people have really important jobs to do, and most of them couldn't be here today. But it is a dynamic, involved committee that has very robust discussions on compliance, and I really value the contribution they make to not only the agency as a whole, but to this committee. Those members are Todd Bleek, Clinical Pharmacy; Jeremy Harper, Environmental Health; Angela Lewis, Administration, Human Resources; Suzanne Lux, Administration, Financial Services; Larry Rogers, Environmental Health, Food Operations; Herb Sequeira, Environmental Health, Solid Waste and Vector Control; Joanne Rupiper, Clinical Services, Chief Administrative Nurse; Jeff Quinn, Community Health, Public Health Preparedness; Mimi Ujie, Administration, Quality Control and Performance Improvement; Victoria Vols, Clinical Services, Community Health Nurse Manager; and Susan Zanis, Community Health, Vital Records. So once again, my thanks to these committee members and to their managers who give of their time to participate in this committee. So basically, all of those eight elements of a compliance program can fit into three buckets or be seen as three branches of the same tree. So I wanted to talk about each one of those separately. First of all, I want to note that the code of conduct is at the bottom of all of my branches of the tree because it's a foundational element of our program, and everything else is supported by the code of conduct. So prevention, we've already established comprehensive written policies and procedures, and we're working on others to operationalize our program. We'll be establishing education and training programs, not only on general topics like our code of conduct, but targeted training and guidance on things like gifts, fraud, anti-kickback statutes, relationships with regulated businesses. And our training will be, you know, sometimes more formalized, sometimes more outreach, sometimes in the form of guidance or FAQs and things like that. But it will be ongoing. And then detection, how do we find out if we have a problem? We did institute, as I said, a new anonymous reporting system. We strongly encourage folks to use their chain of command or to come directly to me or a compliance committee member to report issues. And that is happening, and that's the preference. But in case an individual is not comfortable with that or a situation makes them uncomfortable with that, we have an anonymous reporting system which allows people to either call in or do an online report and remain anonymous. They're issued a report key, and all communication happens within that system, which is administered by a third party. So it's completely outside of the health district. The kinds of issues that we'll be looking at are billing and coding issues, conflicts of interest, excluded or sanctioned provider matters, physician payment and referral concerns, embezzlements, gifts, thefts, accounting irregularities, and so forth. And we'll also be engaging in proactive compliance efforts to identify issues through auditing and monitoring programs and processes. And then another way we find out about having problems is complaints. And it's not my favorite way to have issues identified, but it's a really effective way. And all of these things, even the complaints, give us an opportunity to be better. And correction is all about being better. We're going to promptly, objectively, and carefully investigate each report of suspected misconduct, and we'll be recommending remedial action. Our investigations will identify root cause analysis so that we can know what our vulnerabilities are and correct them. And our corrective actions will include sometimes education, sometimes process changes, sometimes policy changes, and sometimes disciplinary action may be appropriate. And I want to take the time to indicate that we're making a clear distinction between what belongs in the realm of HR and what belongs in compliance, and we'll be educating employees that HR has some really important processes that they follow for disciplinary action, and that will not change. The compliance program is not intended in any way to replace or encroach upon the important job that HR does for us. But given that, we are working hand in hand. Sometimes an issue is identified and we'll talk about it together and decide where it should be triaged and loop back in the end to make sure one or the other doesn't need to be involved. And all corrective action, be it regarding disciplinary action with employees or process changes and so forth, belongs to the program and leadership to correct those issues. And compliance will be following up to ensure that we've corrected issues. So there you have it, our entire compliance tree. And speaking of correcting issues, I wanted to let you know that we'll be monitoring the compliance activity and reporting to you, the board, on a regular basis on what we've done. We'll be reporting things like the number of hotline reports, our resolution time frame, identifying trends or patterns so that we can see where our vulnerabilities lie, how timely we're completing remedial measures, quantifying our training and outreach to you, and letting you know what policies and process changes that we may have made. And so finally, the final measure of a compliance program is the shared commitment to the program. Are we able to demonstrate that culture change that the federal sentencing guidelines are looking for? And that right culture, as I indicated before, begins from the top down and it begins with you. So that's why we've drafted a board resolution for your consideration. It's intended to reflect your commitment to empower our staff to continue to develop this compliance program, implement and maintain it. Because finally, compliance is a team sport. It's not about me. It's not about the compliance committee. It's about all of us demonstrating the shared values and a commitment to compliance and holding everyone to the same standard. That's why we're asking you to sign this board resolution. I understand that you can't do that today, but I thank you for your time and listening to this introduction to our compliance program. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you for the presentation. Ms. Bradley, I want to confirm we now have a quorum.
We do have a quorum.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions. If it's comfortable with the board, I'll open it up to those who are here in person, and then we'll open it up to those who are on the telephone for questions. My questions relate to the HRSA funding, and I just want to make sure that the HRSA funding and the requirements associated with it, that this program is consistent and in compliance with those requirements. The second question is there any differences between the FQHC and the health district in the compliance program?
We don't make any distinctions between the FQHC and the health district in our compliance program. There are certain elements that have been identified as compliance issues with the FQHC as part of the FQHC requirements, and we're weaving those into our policies and procedures as we go along to correct them. For instance, we have before you an ethical standards policy, and we have added information on procurements to that and anti-kickback statutes and a couple of other things to make sure that we're demonstrating to the FQHC inspectors that we're meeting those requirements. So in that respect, they're woven together, but from a compliance standpoint, I see the health district as a whole.
And one follow-up question. With those changes that you just suggested, that will put us in compliance with the expectations from the HRSA inspection folks?
Yes, I've been meeting with folks who are putting together the FQHC and reviewing requirements, and as they're identified, we make the changes that are necessary, yes.
Okay, thank you. I'll open it up to questions from this board here in person first.
No.
And seeing none, to those on the phone, if you have any questions or comments.
I do not.
I do not either.
Okay, for item number 7, I would entertain a motion to approve the report and support the resolution that's being proposed.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, motion passes, and that's support for the resolution. Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you for your time this morning.
Appreciate it. With that, I will move back to item number 6, which is the consent agenda and items for action to be considered by the Southern Nevada Community Health Center Governing Board, which may be enacted by one motion. Any item may be discussed separately per board member request before action, and any exceptions to the consent agenda must be stated prior to the approval. And on the consent agenda is the approval of minutes of the Community Health Center Governing Board orientation meeting from January 23rd. For those who have had a chance to review those minutes, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Consent agenda approved. Marilyn Kirkpatrick did text, and she didn't have any objections either. Thanks.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, thank
item
you.
Item number 5, adoption of the of today's agenda.
Yes, thank you. Item number 5 would entertain a motion for adoption of the January 29th, 2020 agenda.
Motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion passes. So we're jumping around a lot here. So now we're on to number 2 under item number 7. Receive, discuss, and approve governance policies and direct staff accordingly or take other action as deemed as necessary. Ms. Bradley.
Thank you. There are 5 board governance policies, and these follow closely the bylaws that you all amended last week and that were put into place in April when the application was submitted. The very first one, and they're basic governance documents. The BGP 001 is about meeting agendas. We've had several meetings so far, and this tracks that. It's the structure of the agenda. It's just to ensure that the board is committed to having the agenda available. It's committed to having the preparation done in a timely fashion, to having a certain order to the presentations that are being presented. The consent agenda is done in one vote. You all have been doing that, so this just codifies that, for lack of a better term. Board Governance Policy 2, this is another general policy. The law says that in Nevada, open meeting law, we have to have two public comments. The law is one thing, but this board is committed to transparency. This policy reflects that commitment to transparency. We're doing it not because we have to, but because we know it's the right thing to do. And that's all that this is reflecting. Board Governance Policy 3, voting in attendance. This policy is simply saying, we expect everyone to come, we expect everyone to vote, we expect everyone to participate in a meaningful way. One of the things with this particular board and our full board, as a matter of fact, is that ethics is a really important component of who we are and what we do. If there is a conflict, let me back up. Every board member's vote should reflect the best interests of the community health center. To the extent that there is a conflict with personal gain, to the extent that there's a conflict with the business that you may be running and whatever you're going to be voting on, that needs to be disclosed to the full board. That doesn't mean that you can't vote. If a reasonable person in your position could still make an objective decision about whatever the issue is. The important thing is that you disclose what's going on so that there's no ambiguity, there's no appearance of impropriety, which, as we all know, we have all been around long enough, we know that an appearance of impropriety can be just as damning as the actual impropriety. So this is just encouraging us, reminding us that ethics is a core component of who we are and what we do, and full disclosure is always best. Board Governance Policy 4, board committees. Last meeting, we established a lot of committees. We're already following this policy. This just codifies what we're doing. We're going to have at least 6 members, a minimum of 3 members, no more than 6 members. If you all decide that you need a subject matter expert that you don't have within your ranks, you are free to get somebody from the outside. That person doesn't vote, but they do, they're the shmee. They get to give you the information that you don't have, and you use that information in order to inform your decision. The structure of the board committees will be renewed every August. Now, if you guys want a different month, that's fine. I put August in here because that's when the full board updates their committees. And I just wanted to have some consistency in our processes. The last board governance policy that I have is on governing process, style, and board responsibilities. And this is contextual. You guys don't get into the weeds. Your policy board, your governance board, this is the direction we need you staff to go in. You don't get in the kitchen and help us make the stew. You tell us what kind of stew you want. If we don't come back with the right stew, okay, no, this is what I'm looking for. And we have an obligation to be responsive to you. We're looking forward, not backward. We are inclusive. That's essentially what the governance policy is saying. The board acts as one. It's a collective decision-making process. No one person has the authority, unless the board gives them that authority, to speak on behalf of the board or to commit the board to anything. And that's standard how boards operate. A lot of the stuff, a lot of these board governance policies are standard operating procedures for boards, but it's important to have it as a policy so that it demonstrates the commitment to this transparency. It demonstrates the commitment to compliance. It demonstrates the commitment to ensuring that there's transparency and inclusiveness within our board and within our governing structure. One of the things that's important about this policy is that it also talks about the duty of care, the duty of loyalty, and the duty of obedience. And those are standard obligations of any board member. At its core, it simply means that you're going to participate in these meetings, in a meaningful way. You're going to look at the agenda. You're going to look at the supporting documents. One of our commitments to you is that we're not going to overpack these agendas so that we're here for 6 hours. Who wants to do that? But we do want to have meaningful meetings. We do want to have concise meetings. The way to do that is for us to structure the agenda so that we don't fill it too much, and for you all to look at the information, and so that you have questions that can be answered readily versus trying to catch up at the time of the meeting. It also talks about the duty of loyalty, not putting your personal interests ahead of the community health centers. The duty of obedience, that simply means that we're staying true to the mission of the community health center, which is to serve our underserved population within the 89107 zip code for the betterment of the community, for the overall betterment of Southern Nevada. And that's the essence of these board governance policies that I would ask you to approve. And I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Bradley. I have a couple of questions, and then I'll open it up to the board, those here in person, and then those on the phone. My question would be similar to what I asked prior. With these governance policies, are they consistent with the inspectors from the HRSA and with the HRSA funding that we receive?
They are consistent.
And is there any differences between these governance policies for the FQHC and that of the health district?
No.
Thank you. Appreciate it. For those on the board, are there any questions or comments?
No.
Seeing none, for those on the telephone, is there questions or comments?
I do not have any.
I do not have any. I want to say to staff, though, job well done, because I know it's taken us a while to get done, but they look very good.
Thank you.
I would echo that. For someone who's written many, many policies, I know it takes a lot of time, so thank you for your work on that. And I would entertain a motion for approval of the governance policies.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 3, receive, discuss, and approve the SNCHC detailed monthly report and direct staff accordingly or take other action as deemed necessary. This is for possible action.
Good morning. My name is Alfred McGugan. I am the operations officer for the FQHC. Thank you. Welcome, board members, and welcome new members. We are excited to see you and to have you. The report is you have in front of you. It's pretty simple. Right now, we are preparing for our operational site visit, which is scheduled February the 25th, 26th, and 27th. Where we will actually have the HRSA reviewers on site looking at the 6 components of the operational site visit manual. That includes clinical, administration and management, financial, and other component, and governance. And so they will go through the operational site visit protocol to ensure that we are in compliance with the FQHC or PHS 330 granting guidelines. So currently, as many of you know, and as the new folks to the board will get used to, as particularly over the next couple of months, there's going to be a lot of policies brought before you, a lot of compliance documents brought before you for approval as warranted by HRSA to ensure that we are compliant. I think that we have made great strides in aligning the FQHC with the health district and vice versa, so to speak, to ensure that we are compliant. We still have some areas that we need to kind of beef up and add kind of the sustenance to some areas, but from an operational standpoint, I am confident that we should be able to move through our operational site visit with less challenges than we experience, if any, from the TA report that we received.
I want to jump in real quick. Can you comment on the areas that we need to beef up with a little bit more detail?
So, to be transparent and to be open and honest, governance is one of those areas that we definitely need to beef up. The technical assistance report that we did receive from the reviewers, they had major concerns that the lack of board engagement and participation, it just wasn't there for them. So they have concerns about just that engagement and participation of the Community Health Center Board. So we do have an exit and an entrance conference. The project officer from HRSA has made it clear that they need to see more participation from the board. There's also a lunch on that Wednesday, which is kind of a mandatory lunch, where they need a great participation from the board to attend that lunch. Go ahead.
So since we are the board, it'd be great to define what the expectations would look like. I hope it's more than a lunch.
It is. So they have also made clear, since we are a new board, we are a new FQHC, they're not going to, as she put it, they're not going to grill us as if we were an existing, already standing, the expectations have already been set. The reviewers really want to talk with the board members on your perception of what the Community Health Center is, what do you think the level of participation the board should have, and so forth. It's not going to be the more difficult questions. I anticipate the more difficult questions to come, and hopefully in years 2 and 3 and 4. So, yeah.
For us board members to prepare for such a critical lunch, are there ways that we can engage prior to or after that would demonstrate the significance of board governance within this organization for the HRSA folks?
Yes, absolutely. So we are planning to get on the books, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, a board training, which is separate from the board meeting, but a board training where we can go through some of the particulars of what they will look at in the governance piece or the governance manual, chapter of the manual. And we will work with the consultant that we have to lead that training effort. Yes, we can look forward from that, or the board can look forward to those.
And I don't mean to dominate, and I'll let you go into the conversation, but I did have a request, if it's possible to document all of the expectations of the board members and get that out to us quickly so that we're familiar with what's expected of us, including a lunch.
Absolutely. So the operational site visit protocol should have been sent to this board. Did you receive the protocol?
Okay, I think what they're asking you is to just provide like a summary of what could be those expectations, so they don't have to go through the whole bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Back that up. I would definitely say that in preparation for this, that if there are, to like other site visits that I'm going to be participating in, are there specific bullet points that you would like us to focus on that we should be prepared for, and that way, you know, whatever those are, that we can go into, whether it's in the manual or wherever that's at, that we can be prepared to speak to those points.
Absolutely. The guidance that I have is the protocol. The elements, I do not know the specific questions that the reviewers are going to ask. I can guesstimate, but having been a reviewer myself in the past, whenever I talk to boards, I like to know, do they know the bylaws? Do they know the rules? Do they know the boundaries of which they operate within? Are they very clear on their roles and responsibilities as board members? I can speculate on what questions one may ask, but I do not, there's no way I would know the specific questions that any of the reviewers would ask. What I will do at the request of the board is to break down the protocol further with some possible questions based off of the items that they're looking for in the protocol.
And I would ask, I know there's a short time period and scheduling is always difficult, but if you're available to meet with individual board members at their convenience to make sure that they're comfortable with what's presented in both documentation as well as the questions that may be asked so that we can put on a good show for people who are giving us money.
Yes, absolutely. And I agree with that. As we're looking at all of the chapters, that is an internal plan that we're working with each division and sections to go through their perspective pieces of the protocol and have conversations and trainings around what possible questions could come up or what they will look at, because we do have guidance from the TA report that they will absolutely revisit whenever they return on February the 25th. They want to make sure that we've brought those elements into compliance, plus all the other pieces that they were unable to get to at the TA visit.
Mr. Knutson, this is Marilyn. May I ask a question, please?
Lisa, yes.
So let me ask this. So I participated in the very first meeting that we had, but it seems that, at least for me, I'm not good at pretending to be something that I should be, right? But if there is maybe at the next board meeting that we talk about, you know, what our deficiencies are, because if there's deficiencies based on the S2HC, we don't want to correct it once and not correct it for the full time, because we'll set ourselves up for failure moving into this. So I just think that overall we gotta own our deficiencies, and then we gotta have a corrective plan to address them better, as opposed to a training on what they're looking for, because this is a long-term investment. This is a long-term investment in community health within our community. And, we've kind of missed the boat the last couple of months since we had the initial review to not be already, and if you're already working on correcting the deficiencies, that's great. But maybe we should know about that. Does that make sense? It's just I was in those interviews and I seen, and it's not all fluff. There's hard questions, and I was the first one to say that we're in a better spot than we were, because before we were very unhealthy and not ready to do this, and we're in a better spot. But there's always room for growth. So I would just be curious at a later date to tell us what we're doing to correct some of those deficiencies that they said, because my impression is we weren't ready at that point, so we've had to go and fix some real stuff.
Right. So whenever I speak to training, and thank you for the comment, whenever I speak to training, I'm thinking of more of kind of a board retreat, because we absolutely need to gather board assessments in terms of capacity to get to answer some of those questions. Just so you know, HRSA will be at the next board meeting. The next board meeting that this board has will be during the operational site visit. So the reviewers will observe the next board meeting of this board. But the consultant is working on more board assessments for us to gather data and see where each member is so that we can tackle some of those deficiencies, because some of it is informational. Some of it is HRSA is looking for this, they require this, they require this composition for compliance purposes. Some of it is also what does a community health center board do? What are our responsibilities? What is it that we're governing? And some of those we can read, but some of them we have to teach, so to speak. So I absolutely agree with you to get to the root so that we can correct some of the deficiencies, because I think that it is a absolute waste of resource and time to tackle something and just do it halfway and then have to start over just to correct something that we started to correct in the beginning.
Well, in all fairness, we ain't got no more money to start over and restart all the time, right? Our number one priority in the Valley is to provide health care, immunization shots, STDs, all of that, and community health. FQHC HRSA grant is an added bonus, right, to take what we're doing and to make it forward. So I've been to every one of those, and I'm pretty astute, but I mean, I've not heard where our deficiencies were yet. So I'm perplexed. So I appreciate you going to get it for us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I have a question.
Is that going to include the actual report comments from HRSA so we can see what they said? So,
oh, yes, ma'am.
Can be our starting point?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
So, and this is in the next 3 weeks?
I can get the report to this board this afternoon.
Well, I'm
as it relates to the governing.
They're coming
piece.
In 3 weeks, so yes. I don't want us to look like we don't know what we're doing again. So if we even have that to read and then ask questions from, I think that would be a big help.
Yeah, Alfred, because Alfred is working actually in putting together the technical assistant review comments and our progress towards being compliant with those. So what we could do, Alfred, is you could consider is sharing with the board the comments and also where we stand with those items.
Absolutely. And I should be able to get that. I can do a quick turnaround to the board by end of business today for that. Yes, absolutely.
Trying to tax your time. I'm just, you know, in just so that we have enough time to
yes.
review it and then get back to you if there's things that we don't understand so that we make you look good.
Right. And the elements of the training or kind of the retreat or, you know, to address some of those deficiencies, I'm working with the consultant to work at a very quick timeline before the visit so that we can have, you know, those conversations. My door is always open for conversations if more information is needed. But I will definitely reach out to each of you if we want to schedule something individually or even as a round table, if we want to have a round table as a group. Because I want... If governance fails, we're out of compliance. If governance passes, but financial fails, we're still out of compliance. So, you know, all of these pieces have to fit together to ensure that we are compliant. Because one thing that we do not want to do is get into the triggering of HRSA's mechanisms of like one and done and all of that. So, you know, governance is a piece of the packet, so to speak.
Thank you.
So, similar to before, I think I don't have any other questions. I do have a request that I'll put in form of a motion, but are there any questions or comments for those who are here in person?
No.
And for those on the phone, are there any other questions or comments?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so here's, I would actually make the motion. So it sounds as if there is a report where there were deficiencies noted. I don't think I've seen that report. I hope not. I don't remember seeing it. Have I?
No, you haven't. Okay. It came like last week. So
my motion would be is that report with the deficiencies noted and hopefully an action plan associated with it are sent to every board member. I would also like to see you reach out to individual board members to see if you're able to schedule either individual or group briefings to make sure that we're familiar with the deficiencies and familiar with the action plans associated with those deficiencies, and then make sure that we're adequately prepared for the meetings with the HRSA inspectors as they come in. That would be part of the motion in addition to accepting the report. Is that comfortable? Okay. So I look for a second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. Okay. So now we are the SNCHC board stats. Is that part of this?
Board reports.
Or board reports. Thank you. So item number 8, the Southern Nevada Community Health Center governing board members may identify and comment on health center related issues or ask a question for clarification. Comments made by individual board members during this portion of the agenda will not be acted upon by the Southern Nevada Community Health Center governing board unless that subject is on the agenda and scheduled for action. So this is an informational only item. Any questions, comments, actions identified by the board?
No.
Okay. The only thing that I would bring up is I think this communication, I would like to see it increased, improved. I would like more information on a regular basis. And so I don't know how that looks like for 16 board members, and I know you already have a lot on your plate. And so maybe we can brainstorm how best to communicate with this board. And what that communication would look like, whether it be group briefings prior to a meeting or group briefings prior to a FQHC HRSA evaluation to make sure that this board's prepared to do what it's supposed to do. That would be my item.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say something as well. At our last meeting, it was stressed very heavily, this upcoming 3-day visit, and how important it was for board members. So there's people here that weren't here last time that I know that you were asking for people to actually commit to the lunch and either the entrance or the exit review. So just wanted to make sure that everybody that wasn't here last time knows that expectation has been requested. That's
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
With respect to the agenda briefings, and I'm interpreting what I think you're asking for, prior to every meeting, we can have conference calls with less than a quorum.
Yes.
To identify the issues on the agenda and field any questions that you may have at that point. Is that what you're asking for?
That is what I'm asking for, yes.
I like that.
Just to confirm, at our last meeting, we also discussed whenever any materials are going to come out that we need to review. Am I correct to understand that we're going to get more time with those materials that we sent out earlier, so we'd have more time to review those materials?
That was specific to the bylaws, which we changed from giving you 7 days to review any amended changes to 30 days. With respect to the supporting materials for the agenda itself, we can get those to you as soon as we can.
Okay.
In a rightly ordered world, by the time we have the briefing, we should have all the supporting documents. Worst case scenario, we can give you what we have and we can advise you this may change, but this is a draft, we may tweak it this way or that way. But at least you'll have something core to look at.
I think whatever works for you all, because I know how busy everybody is here, so, but yeah, as much as possible time, because okay. I know my schedule gets very busy with all the things that
we have. Understood.
One other request, and this could go for the health district board as well, and I'll speak only for myself. I don't know how to use this iPad. And so it would be great if we could get like a 15-minute tutorial before the next meeting to figure out how to use it. It's nice to look at. It looks really fancy, but I can't figure it out.
Well, I just want to be clear, because I know my iPad at home works the way I am. This one doesn't seem to want to cooperate.
I'll just say, it's not just me.
That's so funny, because
I was like, okay.
Your little training helped me a lot today, Brian. So
yeah, we can get our IT staff next meeting. First thing to do is just to get to a brief iPad training, if you wish. Right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, and we'll move on to item number 9. This is the health officer and staff reports. This is informational only.
Good morning. I will be brief because, well, you know, recently we just gave an update. The only thing new that we have today is that I'm sure you have heard about the new coronavirus infection that is running through China and has been, you know, expanded to some of the countries, including the United States. We recently learned that we have a patient admitted at one of our hospitals with this disease, actually suspect of the disease. So this is a person who traveled to China recently and developed respiratory symptoms a few days ago. So that person missed the CDC criteria for what they call a person under investigation. And because of that, right now we are working with the hospital and the CDC, just making sure that we send the specimens from this patient to the CDC, and they will either confirm the this patient as a new novel coronavirus infection, or rule out the disease. But at this point, so you know, we have this is the first suspect case that we have in our area, and that's something that would be shared with the media by 10:30. We have a meeting here with the media just to talk about that. Yeah.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda, unless there are questions or comments for Dr. Legan.
No.
The next item is public comment, item number 10, a period devoted to comments by the general public. If any, and discussion of those comments about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No action may be taken upon a matter raised under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken pursuant to NRS 241. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name, and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this may be done by the chairman or the board by majority vote. Seeing no public comment, I will adjourn this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.